Welcome to the Outreach Program, sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and to further assist those wishing to upgrade license status. The program tonight will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for the extra class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m., 2300 Zulu each Tuesday, and again at 7 p.m., 2300 Zulu each Sunday evening. For those that are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or just like to listen, please connect to SCAR's server at either EchoLink node number 96140, IRLP node 9614, All-Star node AST27404, or DMRTG314-5983, or DSTARXLX004-J, and finally, Fusion YSFXLX004. Letting it drop. For those who are interested, please contact Mike, Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, via email at voip@scarsvoip.com to enroll in the class and be given directions as to the study material required and the manner to which you'll be connected into the course. The material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the class in session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the Outreach Program at voip@scarsvoip.com. It should be mentioned this course covers only the requirements pertaining to United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing session on this server, please drop us an email at voip@scarsvoip.com. The session this evening will be recorded and posted on our website at www.scarsvoip.com. Reminding me to turn on my recorder. Letting it drop one more time. Please note, of our class members and instructors, it's extremely important that we all stay on the same page during these classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in this class should be the one found posted on our website. Publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during our session. Do we have any emergencies or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? At this point, let us begin. Our instructors for tonight will be David, Kilo Bravo 9, Echo Whiskey Golf, and Kilo Charlie 2, Golf Alpha, Gary. And Gary will start off. Gary will start off with the first question. He'll tell you what it is and get you rolling. Gary in Syracuse, New York, take it away.
Hey, thank you, Mike. And good evening, Culture Vultures. We're here for the second of these question and answer sections here for the extra class, and let's get it underway right away with E6D07. All right, that's E6D07, and the question is, what is current in the primary winding of a transformer called if no load is attached to the secondary? Okay, what current is the primary winding of a transformer called if no load is attached to the secondary? All right, here's your choices. A, the magnetizing current. B, direct current. C, excitation current. And D, stabilizing current. Okay? Now, your correct answer here is A. Why is that? Okay. Think about it. What is a transformer? All right? What is the primary side of a transformer? If you took the second half off that transformer, what would you have? You would have an electromagnet, wouldn't you? Right? You've got a coil wound around an iron core, okay? And that's a magnetizing current that flows through that, okay? So the primary with no load, right, is called a magnetizing current. Okay, Let's see if there's any questions or any discussion on that question. Okay, nothing heard. So let's go to the next question here on the list, and that's E6D08. What is one reason for using powdered iron cores rather than ferrite cores in the inductor? Your choices: A, powdered iron cores generally have greater initial permeability. B, powdered iron cores generally maintain their characteristics at higher currents. C, powdered iron cores generally require fewer turns to provide given inductance. And D, powdered iron cores use smaller diameter wire for the same inductance. Okay. Your answer is B. Right? Powdered iron cores generally maintain their characteristics at higher currents. There's no real trick to this. There's no real epiphany here. It's just something that you need to know, okay, that powdered iron cores handle higher currents better. And that's, you know, file that in the memory bank, and when you see this question, you'll know it. Just when you see powdered iron cores, that they can handle high currents. Okay, let's throw this one out for any discussion and or questions. All right, nobody has any questions on that one, so we'll move it along to E6D09. What devices are commonly used as VHF and UHF parasitic suppressors at the input and output terminals of a transistor HF amplifier? All right. Your choices are A, electrolytic capacitors, B, Butterworth filters, C, ferrite beads, or D, steel core torides. All right? Your correct answer is C, ferrite beads. And again, this is one of those ones that's kind of an automatic one. You should be able to get this pretty easily. Why? Because just about any time you're trying to keep RF out of something, you use ferrite beads, right? So it's kind of like the go-to for any sort of RF suppression in your equipment. So ferrite beads is your answer of choice. It's also the correct answer. And let's see if we have any questions on that.
Six Victor.
Good evening, sir. What's up?
Hey, Gary. Good evening. Thank you for being there for the show here this evening. I thought this might be a good time just to interject two quick comments. Gary, first of all, we have been trying to pass the word to our students to not memorize the alpha designators on these questions. The reason being is that when you get your final exam from the VECs, they will have changed, in many cases, those alpha designators around. The original question will be the same. The proper answer will be the same. But if the question was previously on the question pool as, let's say, answer D as in delta, it may be answer A on your test. Same wording, but different designator. They do that so that you don't memorize the designator. So please remember that. Let me buy a nickel here for a second. The second thing I wanted to mention, Gary, is that when we complete this sixth course here this evening, the students will have accomplished 60% completion of the cross course material that we're providing here, which means to us that it's time to suggest to you that it's time to start taking some practice tests. And you will notice that in the information that's supplied on our website that goes along with this course, there's a spot in there that you can bring up a testing site. It happens to be QRZ offers testing sites. Works very well, I might add. And get your feet wet. If you don't pass some of the questions, go back and relook at them again type thing. And then as you get closer to the end, if you're answering these questions, you know, 80% or better, you're home with the bacon. Thank you, Gary, KY6V, back to net.
Hey, thank you, Gordon, and a couple of really good points there that definitely you don't want to remember the the alpha designator, because that will get you into trouble. I guarantee you that. And yes, this is about time when you really do want to start getting your feet wet with practice exams. And I'll tell you why, because it's one thing to be listening to the questions and answers and to have somebody here to ask questions of the answers to. But, you know, it's another thing to be sitting down and looking at those 50 questions in front of you. And you go, But it's true, though. It's a great idea to get as much practice in as you possibly can. All right. And again, use your resources. Use the resources. You've got this outreach course, which is great. That's how I got my extra. And my gosh, that was an awful long time ago now. But it was through SCARS that helped an awful lot. That and taking practice exams like you are, Zed, the more that you practice, the better you get, and the more confidence you'll have going in to take that exam. I'm going to let it drop here for a minute. I'll be the typical old schoolmaster. Practice, practice, practice. Okay, you can't practice enough. All right, and ask questions. Okay, we're here live right now to ask questions of. You can always drop an email to anybody here, and we'll be more than happy to help you out. All right, that does it for me for this particular segment. I'll be back a little later, but right now, we're going to turn it over to KB9EWG David. Good evening, sir. And what have you got for us?
Good evening, Keith. Okay, try that again. Good evening, Keith, Gary, and Gordon, and everybody else on South Paris here, KB9EWG. A couple other points I wanted to add with what Gordon was saying about not memorizing the alpha characters and, you know, the how the tests will be mixed, you know, can be mixed up and randomized and all that. You know, most of the time you got a written test, you know, the people cannot give you the what you missed, what answers you got right or wrong, so not to not compromise the templates that they use for correcting the scores. Where with us, with the online testing and using the hand exam tools that we're using, we're able actually give you what answers you missed and help you figure out which ones you got right and which ones you got wrong, because all the tests we give are randomized. So, you know, it's not compromised with the online random generated test like that. So, as Gordon said, do not memorize the alpha characters. Anyways, let me reset here and I'll move along here. Okay, we're going to go on to question number Echo 6 Delta 10. And we're going to be talking, what is the primary advantage of using a toroidal core instead of a solenoidal core in an inductor? And the possible answers are alpha. Toroidal cores confine most of the magnetic field within the core material. B, bravo, toroidal cores make it easier to couple the magnetic energy into other components. C, Charlie, toroidal cores exhibit greater hysteresis. Or delta, toroidal cores have a lower Q characteristic. Well, the correct answer is alpha. Toroidal cores confine most of the magnetic field within the core material. And the answer kind of speaks for itself on this one here. The toroidal cores has more of a centralized magnetic field. So, any questions, comments, whatever else on this question here? Okay, then we'll move on to Echo 6 Delta 11. What type of car material decreases inductance when inserted into a coil? A, ceramic. B, brass. C, ferrite. Or D, powdered iron. Well, the correct answer is B, brass. Leave it to the brass. They usually change something. Yeah, the brass usually changes something there. Think about the brass there. So, okay, move on to Echo 6 Delta 12. What is inductor saturation? Alpha, inductor windings are overcoupled. B, inductor's voltage ratings is exceeded, causing a flashover. C, Charlie, ability of the inductor's core to store magnetic energy has been exceeded. Or D, adjacent inductors become become overcoupled. Well, C is the correct answer, Charlie. The ability of the inductor's core to store magnetic energy has become exceeded. Hey, saturation is saturation. You can only get so much water in a sponge. You try to put more water in, it's not going to go anywhere. Well, let's send it back over to Gary. He's got the next one here. Gary, it's your turn.
Hey, thank you, sir. It's kind of like it's all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. Right. Okay. We're moving on now to some more digital stuff, some more digital topics here. And we're going to go to E7A01. That's E7A01. And the question is, which circuit is bistable? The questions are your answers, A, an AND gate, B, an OR gate, C, a flip-flop, or D, a bipolar amplifier, right? The correct answer is C, a flip-flop. Okay, now we're describing this circuit as bistable, two stable states, and it can also be used to store state information. So all you need to think of is flip, state one, flop, state two, right? Two stable states, and that'll give you your answer. All right, so the correct answer again for that is C, a flip-flop. Any questions, any discussion on this? Okay, we'll move it along now to E7A02. What is the function of a decade counter? A, it produces one output pulse for every 10 input pulses. B, it decodes a decimal number for the display on a 7-segment LED display. C, it produces 10 output pulses for every input pulse. Or D, it decodes a binary number for display on a 7-segment LED display. Your correct answer in this case is A. It produces one output pulse for every 10 input pulses. Now, think about this for a minute. The answer is kind of in the question on this with a decade counter, right? So you're looking for something that's going to say 10 in it. But the trick here is they kind of try to mess you up. If you look at question A and question C, they're very similar, but C is the reverse of A. Okay, so remember, it's going to go one output for every 10 inputs, all right? And that's what you get with a decade counter. So don't let it fake you out with the reverse wording, because they do that on you. And it will get you, trust me. So remember, one output, that's all you need to know. In a decade counter, one output for every 10 going in. Okay. Think about that, and while you're thinking about it, if you have any questions or any discussion, let me know right now. Okay. We move along to E7A03. Which of the following can divide the frequency of a pulse train by two? Your options are A, an XOR gate, B, a flip-flop, C, an OR gate, or D, a multiplexer. Okay, your correct answer is B, a flip-flop. And again, we get back to the two states, right? We can divide a pulse train by two because the flip-flop has two stable states. Okay, as a matter of fact, they go very heavily on flip-flops. I can tell you that when they start talking about digital components. And you'll see a lot of reference to that. So if you panic and you can't remember anything, go towards the answer with the flip-flop in it, okay, because they do use that a lot. But think about the reason why you're doing that. In this particular case, they're asking, what can divide a frequency of a pulse train by two? You have something here in the answers, right, that has two stable states. So there's again, there's the clue to going after that. Okay? Any questions, any discussions? Nope. Okay, we're going to turn it back to KB9EWG. And David, you've got the rest.
Well, thank you, Gary. It's always a pleasure doing this with you. It's been a while since we've done it. You know, just the other night there, but I mean, it's definitely enjoy doing this with you there. So thank you. Okay, the next question we're going to look at is Echo 7 Alpha 05. Which of the following is a circuit that continuously alternates between two states without an external clock? A, monostable multivibrator. B, a JK flip-flop. C, a T flip-flop. Or D, an A-stable multivibrator? Well, the correct answer is D, A-stable multivibrator. An A-stable multivibrator in which the circuit is not stable, in either state, it continually switches from one state to the other. It functions as a relaxation oscillator. Any questions, comments, or whatever else there, KB9EWG? Okay, then let's move on here. We'll go to, let's scroll down here. Okay, we're on to Echo 7 Alpha 06. What is a characteristic of a monostable multivibrator? Alpha, it switches momentarily to the opposite binary state and then returns to its original state after a set time. B, it produces a continuous square wave oscillating between 1 and 0. C, it stores one bit of data in either a 0 or 1 state. Or D, it maintains a constant output voltage regardless of variations in the input voltage. Well, the correct answer is alpha, A. It switches momentarily to the opposite binary state, then returns to its original state after a set time. We suggest here refer to the last question, E7A05, which makes the question somewhat more redundant. So there you go. Echo 7 Alpha 07. What is logical operation? What logical operation does a NAND gate perform? A NAND, N-A-N-D gate perform? Alpha, it produces a logic zero at its output only when all inputs are at logic zero. B, it produces logic one at its output only when all inputs are logic one. C, it produces logic zero at all its outputs in some, but not all inputs are logic 1. D, it produces logic 0 at its output, only when it's all its inputs are logic 1. Well, the correct answer is D, produces logic 0, at its output only when it, all inputs are logic 1. A Boolean operator, which gives the value 0, if and only if all of the operands have a value of 1, and otherwise has a value of 1 equivalent to not and. A circuit that produces an output signal. There are signals of all of its outputs. Well, I think that's about the last question there. If that open up for any questions or comments or... Oh, I think I bought the purple crystal there.
No, you're okay, David. Go ahead.
Okay, because it shows on my screen that it timed out. But okay, then I must have just got it right at the end there, so... Okay, anybody with questions or comments or anything else? And as Gordon said, and I have also said, don't memorize the Alpha Bravo characters, whatever, with the with these questions here. Another good source of studying is hamstudy.org. And a little clue here, hamstudy uses the same exact software for exam tools, which is the software that we use to give the exams online there. KB9EWG, anybody with any questions or comments?
Zulu, India.
Go right ahead with your question.
Okay, this is KG5ZI. I think it's over to me, I'm not sure. I just wanted to say that that is really cool on hamstudy.org as well, because it shows you as you're doing your progress. First of all the questions are randomized, just like the test would be. And secondly, it shows you the overall aptitude on how well you're doing the questions and answering them, as well as how many questions of the whole pool that you've seen. And it has bar graphs for each individual element, which is really cool. And you can kind of keep a running tab and see where you're at. Over.
Hey, do one of you want to pick up on that and see what you think of that idea that was handed to us from Tom? Over.
KC2GA. That is a great tool, and actually I wish it had been around when I took it, because it's great. If you've got benchmarking, you know, to show you your progress, that's a great competence builder too. I think the more that you can get yourself psyched, you know, in a positive sense going into this, the better, of course, you're going to do. So. And again, when you can visualize your own you know, your individual progress, and when you can have that sort of a resource to fall back on, it's great stuff. So you know, again, use it, you know, use every resource that you can get. It just makes it so much easier. Okay, just wanted to say thanks to everybody. Been great to be back in the saddle. It's been great working with everybody again. And 7-3 to all you guys, and the best of luck to everybody taking the course. I have high confidence that, you know, with a continued exposure to the South Cars questions and answers, with working on your own, like with hand study, and anything else you can get your paws on, definitely you'll do well. All right, I'll turn it back to, I guess we'll go back to David, I guess.
Well, we'll pick it up here. Yeah, the ham study is a great tool, and you know, as I said, the person that wrote ham study also wrote exam tools, which is what we use with GLARD to do the online exams. That's the exact same software. So when you take the test, it works exactly the same as when you're practicing. So when you're doing the test, it works exactly the same. So. That's why, you know, it's definitely a recommended tool. And when I said, if you use a ham study and you go take the test with us, you're going to use the exact same software, so it's going to look and feel the same. So, you know, there's going to be no difference there. And as I said before, all questions are randomized. So we are actually able to give you what you missed, and so you can go back and restudy or whatever else there. So, You know, unlike the in-person exams with the templates and all that, you could not give the person, you know, what answers they missed because you might compromise your templates. So it's definitely been a big tool, with, especially with the online testing there. I guess I'll turn it back to our host, Mike, KB0CDQ from KB9EWG.
Good work this evening, David, KB9EWG in West Salem, Wisconsin, and also Gary, KC2GA in Syracuse, New York. Look how far apart we can be and we can hear each other as I sit here in Texas. Nice job. Some of those questions are kind of difficult, so memorization is kind of a key. You'll be surprised how your mind knows more than you do. I believe that. Okay, next week, starting on Sunday and Tuesday, we're going to have two more presenters. We're going to go international. We're going to have David in New South Wales, Great Britain, GW8SZL. David has a very beautiful voice, and he'll be coming all the way across the Atlantic Ocean to give us a class. Isn't that going to be interesting? And then his associate is going to be myself, Mike, KB0CDQ, from, as they call it, Land of Antennas, Lantana, Texas. Okay, that's the plan. And the question pool that we'll be starting with next Sunday, which is the 30th, is Echo 7, Charlie 01, through Echo 7, Golf 12. So that's the area we'll be working with next Sunday. Now, does anybody have any questions that, even though it may not be among the group from tonight, because maybe a Gordon or one of us can help you with it, is there anything that just kind of slamming you, being hard on you, any of those questions, let us know. Maybe we can give you a clue. It's open to anybody that has a question. Just come aboard with your call sign, KD0CDQ. It's KD0CDQ. Yes, I remember years ago when I took this exam, I had to rely a lot on memorization. So don't feel bad about that. Actually, I set a date 5 months in the future when I went to take this test. I set a date May something, and this was early in the year. And I spent those 5 months, every free moment, I carried the book with me, right? And I'm looking at the Q&As, trying to make sense of them, trying to absorb them, to have an understanding of them. And it worked out for me. You know, the test was not horrible, not horrible at all. As a matter of fact, those of you who have already taken the tech and the general, you may notice that when you look at the sheet of paper with the Q&As on it, you look at it and say, well, I know those answers. You do. Your mind does know those answers. Trust yourself. And don't second-guess yourself on these questions. When you do the test, if your mind, your memory tells you that that's a certain answer, trust it. Because sometimes we contradict ourselves and get screwed up. So take some time. Take months to prepare. There's no rush taking these exams. But if you feel ready, go on down and take the exam. And you'll be ready to hit it. You'll be surprised how ready you are. Anybody else have any comments? It's KD0CDQ, opening it up to anyone. Okay, I'm going to turn my recording off here, but honestly, I'm really serious about that. With this kind of a test, some of these Q&As, you'll never understand what they mean. You may never have a grasp of it. That's okay. You will know what you need to know. So take your time, study the questions, and use those drills. I do like those test question drills because they give you a hint. After you finish it, as I recall, it tells you why a particular answer is correct. And that's so helpful. It's like you're working with an instructor, because you are. Somebody has put those Q&As together and worked out those tests that you can review. So use those reviews. They're very good. I think they're very fine. Okay, I'm turning off my recorder now. So if anybody wants to come aboard, we're open. And remember, next Sunday night, we'll be back here again doing this thing with these Q&As. Hope you're being comforted by it, because it is a comfort to know there's other people behind you and working at it with you. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec in Lantana, Texas, which is north of Dallas, Fort Worth. Okay. I think there's more horses and cattle out here than people, but I haven't taken a head count. Okay, KD0CDQ, the net is now open for anyone. 73.